The Business Buzz Podcast. The Business Buzz with Mudiwa Mob Justice Gavaza.
Good evening and welcome to the Business Buzz for your weekly dose of business, finance and economics news right here on VAW FM. That's 88.1. We're broadcasting live from our studios right here in Braamfontein, Johannesburg. My name is Mudiwa Mob Justice Gavaza, and I'll be your host for tonight's show. Now, who's to say that the world of business can't be entertaining? Definitely make sure you hold on to your seats as we seek to keep you entertained, educated and intrigued about the world of business. Now, for today, it's looking to be quite an interesting show, and we're going to be talking, you know, around some of what's going on in terms of the scams that are going on in and around the world, because as much as the economy is ticking, somewhere in the economy there are always the nefarious and you know, unruly and criminal actors that want to take advantage of the things that we are doing out there. They take advantage of our good consciences. They take advantage of gullibleness. They take advantage even of what it means to be you know, a human being. But before we get into all of that, something happened this week which I found, you know, very interesting. There's a company called Foresight, right? And Foresight is basically a technology company. They're listed on the JSE, not a large company. It's called a small to mid-cap size company. And basically they've actually partnered with a company from it should be Singapore, called Cognius.ai, if I remember correctly. And basically what these people have done is they have a virtual assistant sort of platform that they are that they have out there. They call it conversational AI. That's basically artificial intelligence that's meant to replicate the conversationality of a human interaction. So think of customer care, or, you know, call centers, or if you've ever gone onto a Facebook page of a big company, a lot of them use chatbots. You do a Facebook message and you get an instant response, and then they'll start asking you questions. That's a chatbot, and that's basically you know, what's going on this end. And what I found interesting about this one is that they said that their latest version of this AI is going to do mood recognition, and it's going to be able to sort of replicate the human patterns and intonation that go into human speech. Because, you know, if you've been listening to me since the start of this show, I haven't spoken perfectly because I'm human. And that's exactly what this AI is going to be doing. It will be able to gauge whether, you know, a human being on the other side is angry, sad, happy. And at the same time, it will be able to reply appropriately, right? So imagine Siri on iPhone, Google Assistant on the Google side, Amazon Alexa, being able to tell what mood you're in and have that conversation with you. And they say that they're going to be plugging this into enterprise systems, and it's very likely that this is going to take some of the work that's typically done by call center and customer services staff. And I think at this point we keep saying that the machines are coming, but, you know, this is one of those wake-up calls where I say, okay, cool, the machines haven't taken over, but we really do need to find ways as human beings to, I guess, elevate and upskill a big portion of our, what's it called, a big portion of our workforces. I mean, who knows, one day this conversational AI might actually be what's presenting this show, right? Because no one is safe out there. Once upon a time, when you look at a traffic light, I'll use this as the last example. When you look at traffic lights, once upon a time, there were people that used to physically change lights from red to green to orange. Right, that used to be a job once upon a time. I don't think anyone ever thought at the time that these things would be automated. And if you think about traffic lights, you hardly think of that as being cutting edge technology, because they've been around for such a long time. And in that same way, it was just one of those things to say that as people, we do need to be thinking, you know, differently about the economy, how we as humans relate in the economy, and at the same time, how we go about making money as economic actors. Otherwise, as I said, we are going to be getting into a show around scams, the way that people are taking advantage of human beings in the economy. Whatever the scam is, there are so many different scams, whether we're talking about a prince from a certain African country who's just lost an inheritance and needs you to send their social security number. Those are the things that we're going to be talking about, and we're going to be hearing from people that have been scammed, and maybe just getting some tips around how you can protect yourself. If you want to join in the discussion, remember that you can go to Facebook, that's Vow FM or Voice of Wits. Our other Facebook page is Wits Radio Academy. On Twitter, we're at Vow FM, and then our hashtag is hashtag Business Buzz. You can also search for us. Our great content is available on vits.journalism.co.za/business. So that's how the show is looking like. On the other side of this, we're going to be getting into the top economics news of the week in our business wrap.
Graham Squad vibes are a real thing. So follow at Vow FM on Instagram and light up your feed. On the go, take us with you anywhere on www.vowfm.co.za. Business Wrap with Ken Swetnam.
We get into the business wrap. That's where we give you a roundup of the week's top trending business and economics news. And for today, we are joined by our financial expert, that is Ken Swetnam. Ken, greetings to you.
Good evening. How are you doing?
Now, doing all right on this Thursday evening. In terms of the week, the markets, the economy, what have been the newsmakers?
Well, let's quickly run through what's been happening on the markets. You mentioned that first. We're seeing an absolute resurgence on markets right around the world, and the Johannesburg stock market's been no different. The market today up just short of another 0.5%. We are very close to record highs on the local market. Industrials up 0.5%. Financials had a very good day, up 1.7%, and resources came off slightly. Still on the back of what is really, barring one or two places like India, an improving economic climate all around the world as economies are slowly moving out of lockdowns, as vaccines seem to be working in places like Great Britain and Israel, and as the world hopes that as they roll out the vaccine programs throughout the world, that the economies will start improving. So the markets are pricing that in already. And our local currency doing very well at the moment, currently trading around 14.22 to the dollar, 19.75 to the pound, and the euro at 17.13. And it seems to be holding these very good levels and the best levels in several months. So things in the economy are pointing in the right direction, I'm happy to say, at the moment.
That certainly sounds like good news indeed. And a quick follow-up on my end, it's been a sort of a curiosity because of how bad things are in India. I've just been curious if there's perhaps any fallout that we've seen, because it's such a big country. One wonders if what's going on there has any fallout in terms of any of the markets, or whether we might anticipate that vaccine supplies around the world are going to sort of be earmarked for India and, maybe affect global supplies, or, is that not even anything to be thinking about?
Well, it's certainly something we have to think about. There's no doubt about it. India is a country of 1.2 billion people. It is one of the biggest economies in the world, and it's been a very fast-growing economy in the past. That economy is shrinking because of what's happening in that country at the moment. And of course, a lot of countries are slapping travel bans on India. A country like Australia, for example, aren't even letting their own citizens back in if they've been to India. And there's no doubt there's a threat. I mean, the good news I've just given on the markets is, in my opinion, a very fragile growth. Because if vaccines turn out they're not working and countries start moving back into lockdowns, then these growth rates will be under serious threat. I mentioned, and you did touch on vaccines, the countries like Britain and Israel and one or two other countries have really moved ahead very rapidly with the vaccine program, and their COVID numbers are coming down. And in South Africa, as we know, our vaccine program is moving far, far slower than I think any of us would like it to, but we are by no means the only country. The demand for vaccines is literally outstripping supply at the moment, and a lot of countries are trying to get their hands on vaccines. So it's going to be a while until countries get vaccinated and economies start moving, and India is no different to that. So at the moment, the Indian economy is not performing because they're moving that country back into severe lockdowns, and their medical system is under severe pressure at the moment. But the rest of the world, if they can keep this Indian variant of the virus out, are still moving along. So that's really what it counts on. If the Indian variant of the virus doesn't move into the world, then we should be okay. But it's really a wait-and-see situation at the moment. Huh?
Now, we certainly hope that that situation does improve over time. But apart from that, anything else that you are keeping an eye on or that, piqued your interest during the week?
Well, it's not been an exciting week of economic news again. Things are moving along as normal. I think the biggest concern, and I put this in inverted commas, is the upcoming wage talks with our government and the government unions. The government has backed down on a promised annual increase for the government employees over 3 years by saying they want to give zero increases now. And then certainly the unions aren't happy with that. And they are moving into talks with Mr. God over the next week or two. If they can't sort this out, we could end up with the government staff going on strike, which would be devastating not only for us as a country, with the government being the biggest employer, but for those of us who rely on government services. It's simply things like going to Home Affairs to renew your ID book and things like that could really be put at threat. So that's certainly one area that we need to watch. And we have to keep in mind that we've got local government elections coming up in October. That's going to be very interesting to watch as we get closer to that as well. Huh?
Perhaps as we end off, you mentioned the strikes, the possibility of strikes as we head into wage negotiations. I also understand that, we're sort of in rating season as well. Any chance that our friends at Fitch, Moody's and S&P might be looking at these wage negotiations and considering them?
Oh, I have absolutely no doubt they're looking at them. All the rating agencies have representatives in the country who watch the economy and watch the government's attitude towards growth, job creation. We mustn't forget that despite the good performing markets, our economy is still pretty much in dire straits. We should see a growth in the economy this year, but very small. Maybe somewhere around 3%, which is really not recovering from the losses we had last year. And how the government is handling its own employee base and wage negotiations, how it's handling the creation of jobs, which it isn't, how the economy itself is performing, will all be taken into account by the rating agencies. And sadly, if the government doesn't handle this well, we are in severe danger of having even more rating agency cuts, which will not be good for the country with regards to foreign investment. And of course, the cost of government debt, which is also an area of concern in our treasury at the moment.
So that's been it. We're talking to Ken Swettenham, who is our financial expert, about what's been going on in and around the economy, highlighting the fact that the markets are seeing some fragile growth, fragile being the operative word, just warning about some of the possible headwinds that we might see when it comes to that, and just also talking about the COVID-19 vaccines, what those supplies mean. What's vaccination programs around the world mean, and then just ending off talking about the possible risk of strike action that might happen depending on how wage negotiations go in a couple of weeks, and obviously ratings agencies keeping an eye on all of these things as they make an assessment of South Africa's economic position. Otherwise, that's been it. On the other side of this, we get into the Buffalo Index.
The Buffalo Index on the Business Buzz.
Since we are talking about scams for today, I decided to go, and find out, some of the biggest scams, right? And if you look at what's been going on in and around the world, possibly the biggest scam of the last maybe decade, maybe two decades, is the Bernie Madoff Ponzi scheme, right? And on a Buffalo index level, where we look to see the state of your 100 Rand, if we look at the value of how much money Bernie Madoff was able to get out of people and scam out of people, it's estimated that it was around 65 billion US dollars, which translates to 924 billion Rand at the current exchange rates. And if we're talking in Buffalo terms, you're looking at about 90 trillion of your buffaloes that would have amounted to that particular scam. So that's been it. On the other side of this, we get into the main topic.
You're tuned in to the Business Buzz.
Now, we all know at least someone who has been scammed by strangers where they promise them, you know, fast ways of making money, but instead they get robbed. There are actually quite a number of common scams in South Africa. So we're going to be hearing a number of different stories just around what's been going on in the world of scams, particularly scams where we are getting money taken out of people. If you want to engage with us, let us know your story. Do you have any battle scars from the world of being scammed? Facebook, we have our famous Voice of Wits. You can find our other Facebook page, that is Wits Radio Academy. And then on Twitter, we're at VFM. And then our hashtag is hashtag Business Buzz. So as we start off, we're just going to hear a little bit around Guguletu's story and then jump into a conversation with Patience to hear about her scam story. So let's hear first about what happened to Guguletu.
My name is Kukulet. Online scams. So very recently I joined Betway. And so Betway was actually introduced by a friend. So I was playing something called UK 49. There are two draws daily. It's lunchtime and tea time. It is between 1 o'clock and I think 6 or 7. Anyway, so it's numbers from 1 until 49. So that's why it's called UK 49. So basically you choose numbers that are gonna pop up on the draw, basically. So went on Facebook, saw quite a few pages, and then I decided to join one of the Facebook pages. I joined this one called Boomers, B-O-O-M-E-R-S. So what happens in Betway, how they do it is they boomers and there is doomers. So if you boom, you win. If you doom, you lose. People are posting results. This group, we played lunchtime today, we made, we got five numbers. I think it's out of six numbers, I think, yeah. Sharp, I joined. Joined a few pages, joined. Got a few numbers for WhatsApp. Then I, oh, this is so funny. Okay, then I joined the WhatsApp group. WhatsApp group, so there is VIP and your general group. So general group is where they share, VIP is where they actually give you the numbers. General group is where they post the results. So whenever they win, they will post on the general group to try and get you to join the VIP. Sharp, then there I was seeing these amazing results. People betting with 50 rands, winning 5,000 rands, betting with 20 rands, winning 3,000 rands. I paid, so then they charge a fee. 750 was the first one. Paid 750, I lost. 750 is like for 3 days, 1,000 rands is for a week, and then it goes up and up. 750 I paid, 3 days straight I lost. So this thing is like an addiction. Joined another WhatsApp group, same story. they're posting winning numbers. I joined, I won the first round, second round, third round, fourth round, fifth round, nothing. So on Betway, I got scammed. I think it was close to 1.5. Yeah, 1.5. So that is how I got scammed. Because now apparently what they do is they will, so it's one ticket. So then if someone actually won, they will post that ticket as if it's them who actually won that number for that day, you know. So then when I got a closer look, I realized that, hey, this is actually one ticket, but then how can one ticket be won by five different groups? Which didn't make sense, but at the time it didn't click, you know. So that is how I got scammed with Betway, Boomers and Boomers. Yeah, so it's quite a few groups on Facebook actually.
You know, it's quite sad to hear some of the stories, what's going on. And one of the things that was interesting to hear from Guguletu was the fact that she's saying that, you know, this stuff sort of starts feeling like it's a bit of an addiction because of what's going on, you know. And yeah, I found, you know, I was a little bit shook about that. So you can hear on that end how she was scammed and how, you know, the story that she told. But there's actually a couple of other scams. I mean, you know, if we sit down and do some research, I'm just going to shuffle paper like this, right, to show you all the research that we've done and just how many scams that there are out there. So I'm going to highlight two for now. The first one is called the My Life Change 24/7, and it's basically this is a style of Ponzi scheme whereby a group of administrators gather eager first-time investors and ask them to contribute different sums of money in the hope of gaining a far superior return to any offered by commercial banks or investment houses. So, for example, you invest 5,000 Rand by paying it directly into someone's account. The person who you are paying has waited the duration of their chosen term and is now withdrawing their money. So basically, the way that Ponzi schemes work, if you've never heard of a Ponzi scheme, you're basically moving, you know, money from one person to another. I say that I'm going to, let's say I start off saying that I've sold a service or something and I need to pay, let's say, 5,000 Rand to use this example. And I don't have 5,000 Rand on me, but I'm able to convince someone else that if they give me 5,000 Rand, right, then, you know, I can double it or, you know, do something with it, right? In some of my circles, people call it spinning money, right? And then you bring it back, you know, the way that it is. So you take the 5,000 from the one person, you go and you pay the 5,000 that you owe on the other side, and you hope to delay things on the first side so that it gives you enough time to, you know, get the money through. You will likely convince someone else to give you another 5,000 Rand so that you can pay the second person. And then the circle sort of flows through. You heard in our Buffalo Index, we highlighted Bernie Madoff with his $65 billion. And that's basically the scheme that was going on that end. The other one is what's called overnight online brokers. And this is where with the forex trading and exchange traded funds being touted as unprecedented levels over the internet, more and more brokers have actually sprung to life overnight. This one is an easy one to see when you look at I guess Instagram, right? There are all of these accounts. Very interesting. I actually wonder sometimes how they target the accounts that they do, because basically you have like a team of forex brokers that will all come under your comments on an Instagram post and tell you that if you invest an X amount of money, right? And what's always weird to me is the fact that you could literally post about anything. You could post a box of Smarties, and forex traders will tell you that if you invest 1,000 Rand in the forex market, they can make a return for you. And I think that's absolutely crazy. So that's it. Hopefully we're going to be getting our guest on the line. But on the other side of this, we get into our COVID Business Watch.
COVID Biz Watch. COVID Biz Watch. On the Business Buzz.
It's time for us to get into the COVID Business Watch. That's when we look at the impact of COVID-19 on various businesses in and around South Africa. And for today, we are joined by Tsepo Mokoena, who is the founder of Tsepo X and Focus Streetwear. Tsepo, greetings to you.
Greetings, everyone. How are you?
Not doing all right on this end. I think a good place for us to start is maybe understanding when we say Tsepo X and Focus Streetwear. Can you give us some insight on these?
Okay, no problem. Tsepo X Photography is a photography and visuals company that I started 3 years ago. I started focusing on event photography, and then I moved on to event videography. And then we just primarily focus on that, doing events like your baby showers, your corporate events, just taking long-lasting memories and capturing them so that, you know, we can deliver that to our clients. And then Focus Streetwear is a clothing brand that primarily focuses on messages that intend to inspire the youth, hence the word Focus Streetwear, because we believe that one of the qualities that our youth needs to, in order to actually achieve success or attain something, is to focus. So those are my two businesses, yes.
When did you start these two businesses?
I started them 3 years ago.
3 years ago. And how has COVID-19 affected each one of them? Because these sound like separate businesses. What have been some of the headwinds or perhaps opportunities that you've been able to capitalize on?
Yes, COVID-19 actually affected both of my businesses negatively, because primarily they are dependent upon movement and actually being outdoor or indoors where people actually meet, and COVID-19 actually prevented that. So we were affected negatively. Money was lost in the process, but COVID-19 actually forced us to actually think of creative ways in order to actually try and make the business to survive. Right now, the businesses are still there, just that we've added more skill sets in the process that were actually tailor-made for our business, because now we service our clients that are at over long distances, whereby now we offer like other digital products of which we don't have to meet or get into contact with each other.
The two businesses, do you run them together or do you sort of have them as separate entities?
They are separate entities.
Okay, cool. And from that point of view then, when it comes to that, you said that it's forced you to, I guess, rethink, you know, some of the aspects. How have you been able to do that? Especially, I'm very interested in the one that was based on events, because we know what happened to events. So when it comes to that one, how have you been able to pivot?
Yeah, it's been a tough one. But what has happened was that since I was only providing photography and videography that required us to be outside at a meet and greet, what happened was that we started restructuring the whole process by saying, okay, what other skill sets can we add to still offer digital products? And we started bringing people in that deal with your company profiling, your logos, your for example, one other stuff that we do, like social media marketing. So certain products that can allow us to actually, you know, be able to service our clients while we're not actually in contact with them. So those are the kind of things that we had to do. We had to improve our skill sets and also add people with a different skill set to actually bridge the gap.
Okay, cool. That actually makes sense, you know, from that point of view. So from that point of view, what advice do you actually have? Because there's probably people that are listening to this whose businesses were also affected negatively by COVID-19. Any advice that you can give to people out there just around how they can, I guess, rethink their own businesses, or, you know, some of the lessons that you learned that have been able to keep you in business so far? Because we've seen so many business closures during this time.
Yeah, I think, you know, entrepreneurship is a journey that forces you to grow and to add more skill sets, because entrepreneurship is all about identifying a gap in the market and trying to fill it. Now, when that gap is closed, there are other gaps that open. So for you to say, I have a business and I just want to continue to do what I've been doing, you will die, because COVID-19 has forced all businesses to innovate, to go digital, to have less contact amongst people. So I would just advise that if you are in a business or you have a business, you have to think differently, and some of the ways, your old ways that you've been running a business might have gone pre-COVID. And now, if you cannot innovate your business, you would have to close it down. But because I don't have that spirit of giving up, what I do is that I'll just add more skill sets to myself and add more people that would add value to the gap that is currently open. And therefore, that would just require you to update everything that you were doing and just, you know, be willing to grow. I think that's the challenge. The challenge was that COVID-19 forced us to change, and change is normally what most people are afraid of. But if you didn't change or adapt, you died. So I think that's the only advice. You must be willing to change, adapt, and improve yourself, and to fill those gaps that are currently open, and forget about the ones that are closed. So, yes.
Change, adapt, or you might die. Before we let you go, how can people get in touch with you if they want to engage with either one of the businesses?
They can go on my social media handle is tapox, T-S-H-E-P-O _AXE, or at tapox photography, it is T-S-H-E-P-O _X _photography. Or they can just email me at tapo at TheXForce, which is TheXForce spelled with T-H-E and then X, the letter X, and then Force, F-O-R-C-E.
All right.
At the X-Force.
Okay, cool. No. Thank you so much for that, Tsepo. That was us with Tsepo Mokoena, who is the founder of Tsepo X, together with Focus Streetwear, giving us some insight into how his businesses were affected by COVID-19 in our COVID Business Watch. On the other side of this, we continue with the show.
More justice on the Business Buzz.
We are talking about scams on today's edition of the Business Buzz. We heard earlier on just around how Guguletu was scammed, and we were just highlighting some of the, you know, top scams that are happening in and around the world. Things like my life changes over 24 hours type of thing, overnight online brokers. And there's also fake real estate agents that go into certain deals. They pretend to be real estate agents, not to unsuspecting victims, people who don't know what's actually going on, and people hand over their money, and after some time you get no goods or services at the end of the day. I have my own story. I have a couple, actually, and I know a couple of years ago it was very interesting, because I had a friend of mine that I went to, you know, we were at university together, and we actually used to do quite a bit of business with each other back in the day. So because of that, I was used to, we were used to sending each other money every once in a while, like, oh, I need X amount of money, please can you give it to me? I just need to, you know, do something real quick, I'll give it back to you in X amount of time. And, you know, that was the relationship that we had. And I got the usual type of text, hey man, I need X amount of money, and then, you know, I sent it, right? And I thought, I didn't even think much of it, only for my friend to post on Facebook a couple of days later to say, guys, if you've been receiving any text messages from my WhatsApp saying you want X amount of money, please do not reply or give any money to any of the accounts that are being sent, because that's basically That's basically a scam. Someone has hacked into my WhatsApp, and it was very scary, you know, from that point of view. And I know that the cybersecurity experts, they call it social engineering, and that's basically where someone goes and studies. So in that particular case, someone would have hacked into someone's WhatsApp, and what they do, the social engineering part, is they go in and they look at the different chats that you have. Who are you chatting with? Who do you constantly talk to? What's the nature of the chats? And then they look at ways to text in the same way that the person, the original owner of the phone or WhatsApp account, texts, and then they're able to make their requests and, you know, gain fraudulently from that point of view. Another battle story. This one happened, I remember I actually told this story literally 2 or 3 days ago. And because a lot of these things, they happen in a number of ways. And this one was a cell phone scam, right? Because in addition, a lot of people buy their cell phones, you know, through contracts and stuff like that. Other people, they buy their phones through cash, whereas other people will buy their phones, let's say, will buy goods and services secondhand on certain markets, secondhand, like the Gumtrees, OLXs, etc. And I remember a couple of years ago, one of my friends had a new Samsung. I'm trying to remember. I think back then it was even a Galaxy S2, S3, whatever it was at the time. That's how long ago it was. And I remember the one time she got a message from her network provider, and the message said, please, can you come to our shop, right? We have a gift. You've won a competition. We have a gift to you. Please, may you come in so that we can give this to you, right? So she was there, and I remember I was walking with another friend, and then, you know, she motioned, oh, guys, you know, I want a gift, you know, please come through, you know. Very excited, gets into the shop, and then we're just talking, waiting to see what this prize is. What is this competition that you're randomly selected to win? Little did we know or notice that whilst we were standing by the counter, right, because all the networks have their little shops, Vodacom, MTN, Cell C, Telkom, they have their shops, and we're in one of those types of shops. And we didn't really notice, but then after a little bit of time, every other customer, every other shopper who was in that shop had been led out, and security had actually locked the doors, right? And it was just the three of us left in that shop. And the lady behind the counter says to our friend who had apparently won this prize and says, where did you get this phone that you're using right now? Explains, no, I got it as a gift from a brother, etc., etc. And then only to be told that the phone that she had literally gotten the week before was actually stolen from a person who was all the way in Johannesburg. We were in the Eastern Cape at the time. And because what happens is that if your mobile device is stolen, what some people do is that if you report it stolen, there's something called an IME number. And basically you report that, and anytime that number comes back on any network, where as soon as it gets online, it sort of pings the network, and it becomes highlighted as being a stolen device on the network. And because it's a cell phone network, they know exactly where you are. So, you know, that story was actually quite sad, because as much as she explained it was a gift, and, you know, on her end, she hadn't done anything wrong. It was a gift on her end, but she walked out of there without any phone because she had to surrender the phone. And it was actually quite a sad thing to, you know, see and to hear. And these are some of the ways that people are scamming out there. So if you are going to be buying phones that are secondhand, that are not coming from, you know, a shop or something like that, just make sure you go out there. You can check, like Apple has a tool online where you can actually check if a phone that you're about to buy, it has actually been registered as stolen or not. So, you know, those are some of the things that you know, you can do for you. So, but for now, before we, you know, round up the show, we're going to hear, as we heard you know, from Guguleto earlier on, we're going to hear Patience's story, to hear, you know, what happened there.
It was last year around August, if I'm not mistaken, where I officially got convinced to invest in a particular platform, in a Luno. There's a Luno app. Yes. So there's this lady I met in Instagram. Her name is Judith Mark 01. Yes. And her account is a private account. So she's the one who followed me. Then I followed back. And then in a couple of days, she started a conversation saying, hi, everything was going well. Well, I don't know what went wrong, but I trusted her as days go by. She said to me, there's a way of making money. There's a way to earn easily. And like, I was interested to know how can people make money in 24 hours, things like that. So I got convinced because I was facing some issues in terms of financial issues. So I might as well say I was desperate. So me being desperate, and then I made some choices. I tried out, and then I texted back, finding out what it requires and everything. And then she said to me, I should, if I'm really, really interested in this, I should invest first. I'm like, how much should I invest? And she said to me, I should invest 1,800. So not knowing that it will all go wrong in the end. And then I was like, I had no choice. And I took that 1,800 and invested in that Luno app. And then I deposited everything. And then she made a promise that my profits will be sent in just 7 days. And in just 7 days, in a week. So I was like, okay, if I invest now, I'm going to get my profits in just 7 days. That was quick for me. And then I invested. And then just before 7 days, she started telling me stories that I should wait 24 hours, 48 hours, because she already made the bank transactions. Some other banks are slow, things like that. And then she wanted my WhatsApp number. I gave her my WhatsApp number. We talked via WhatsApp. She's a professional scammer, that one. She made me to believe that, like, she wouldn't scam me. I should trust her. And I did trust her because she was a female, you see. So I got convinced and motivated that this person will never do this to me. I wasn't sure if she's a scammer or what. I was taking a risk. And then I got blocked. After 7 days, I got blocked. That's when I started to shake, to get scared. She blocked me everywhere, in Instagram, WhatsApp. I tried to trace her. I couldn't find her. I went to the bank to reverse the transactions. It wasn't visible. I don't know what happened. She disappeared out of nowhere. That's when I cried out loud, asking for help. I tried to make a group. I tried to make people. I tried by all means, but it didn't work. So that's how I believe that scammers exist. As from there, I believe that scammers exist. So yeah. That's how it is.
You're tuned in to the Business Buzz.
Thank you so much to Patience and to Guguletu for just letting us know, you know, sharing some of their stories with us. You know, listening to Patience's story, it's quite sad hearing, you know, how she was able to be convinced. I mean, the person who scammed her told her that she wasn't going to be scammed. And I think that's probably the experience of a lot of people that end up getting you know, scammed. I think there's a couple of scams. I just want to highlight just two before we get out of here. And the first one is that in certain cases, when you buy and sell goods online, let's say someone is when you buy and sell goods online, some people have the habit of actually sending fake proof of payments, fake POPs. And I've actually seen this with my own eyes. And I think just some tips out there, if it's someone that you don't know, someone who's not in your personal life and stuff like that, someone who you don't trust, when you get a POP, one of the easiest ways to just check, because sometimes some of these guys can be sloppy. Some of them are immaculate, I won't even lie. Some of them, all you need to just check is the fonts that are being used. A lot of the time, Nedbank, Capitec, Standard Bank, FNB, and others, they have standard ways in which they do proof of payments, and people will have templates that they copy, and then they just alter some details and then put fake bank accounts. So I think the big tips on that end is, firstly, if you're going to just check the authenticity, just check to see that everything looks correct on a proof of payment. And then secondly, before you send any goods or services or deliver your part of a particular transaction, just say to the person, I will wait until the funds clear. When the funds appear in my account or in the other account, then we'll move forward on this deal. And then the last one is some of the WhatsApp group scams that are happening out there. And the way that some of them work is that we're all familiar with the concept of a stock fell, and some people will get into a WhatsApp group and be convinced that this is a stock fell of some sort, not knowing that the three or four other people that they are quote unquote investing with are actually, scammers. They have all the chats, all the banter, and then this person, they say that, for them to participate, they obviously have to put in a certain amount of money, and then they put in the money, and then just like that, the WhatsApp group disappears and you're left, with no recourse on that end. So, scams are real, and people are looking for ways in which they can take your hard-earned money out of your pocket. So that's been it for this edition of the Business Day. The Business Buzz. And for today, I remember that you can keep in touch with us on Via FM or Voice of Vids. You can also find our other Facebook page, that is Vids Radio Academy, and then you can find us on Twitter, that's at VFM, and then our hashtag is hashtag Business Buzz. Let us know, have you been scammed? Have you been part of a scam in terms of getting scammed? Was it you? Was it a group of friends? What was the modus operandi of the people that scammed you? How did they convince you to pay over the money? You can let us know. Otherwise, if you aren't able to catch all our shows live, you can go back and listen to our previous episodes. You can find us on vids.journalism.co.za /business. So with that, we've reached the end of the show. Thank you so much to our amazing team. Our technical producer is Kotlano Serame, together with our producer, that is Glory Mabuza, together with Ntando Klimba, Slin Lim Sibi, as well as Siyabonga Mota. Don't miss the Business Buzz, same time, same place next week for more insight into the world of business. Otherwise, don't turn that dial. There's more great content coming up on the Vow FM lineup. So for myself, Mdio Mob, Justice Kabaza, and the rest of the team, it is good evening and take care.
The Business Buzz with Mudiwa Mob, Justice Kabaza. The Business Buzz Podcast.